G'day, it's that time again. It's time for cinema.
Yoga.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Yuganites all over the world listening to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We're back with another fantastic episode, Cinema Yugen, and a returning guest. Mine haven't spoken since we talked about another Garrosetian film, Automation. Sadie Katz, actress, writer, director, producer, documentarian. She's got an award named after. She's an award-winning lady. And if you've seen any of these wonderful, wonderful movies such as Automation, Mayday, Hacksaw, Clown Fear, Megan, The Stepdaddy, Amityville Harvest, Angel City Horror, 8 Days to Hell, Night of the Zomghouls, Mike and Fred versus the Dead, Unreported, Space Wars, which we're going to talk about, Space Wars, The Quest for Deep Star, Shelter, Reverence, End of Times, State of Desolation, Static Codes, Transmission, Death Club, Woods Witch, The Truth About Monsters, and there's some cool ones upcoming, The Beast Inside, and Sadie is also in a bronzeploitation movie. That's right, a bronzeploitation movie, a Robert Bronzy movie, 12 to Midnight. Sadie Katz, she has an award named after her in her honor, and we are honored to have her on Cinema Yugen to talk about Garrosetian's Space Wars and other things cool. Sadie Katz, welcome.
Good. Thank you for having me in my vehicle.
It's fantastic to have you in your vehicle. It's been a long time since we spoke last. It was Automation last time we spoke. You were fighting off AI long before it was all over the news.
I know, like, and people just keep heading for it, like, straight on. And I'm like, we've been warned, guys. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, obviously people didn't see Terminator or Terminator 2.
I mean, I have a lot of weird dread that more has to go with, like, what's going to happen with the arts and, like, everyone's going to be obsolete. Like, why do we keep saying, okay, I don't know. What do you think, Kent?
I don't know. I mean, right now it's a novelty, but I mean, as it continues to get better and better and better and better till you don't really know that it's involved, you know, and then there's always that danger of becomes sentient, you know, once it starts having emotions, like it's not happy to do our bidding, and it gets tired and we become the threat to its existence. Well, we all know how that's going to go.
No. I mean, then I also see things like, you know, they have like these influencers that aren't real now. Like,
right.
Every now and then I fall for it and I'm like clicking on it and I'll think like, how is this girl looks like this? She's got like, you know, the big titties and like a waist like this.
Bro.
She's not even a real person. And I've been like following. There's something to be said of people having nuances, and like robots don't have nuances, right?
That's true. But I think people are fascinated at the prospect, but I think it will be kind of terrifying one day to actually see an artificial intelligence that's probably too real, if you know what I mean. Like it's so real. It
like a person, like a
yeah, like the Spielberg.
We'll be dead.
We'll
be dead, right?
Yeah.
Mm. I have kids, so I worry. I have two boys. One's 22 and one's 18 months,
right.
And that will be their reality. And maybe they'll be so scared of it because they grew up. They'll grow up with like thinking that's normal, where like sure. You and I will be dead. We'll be Like, we won't have to deal with that BS.
No, no.
Have fun, guys. We're gone. Go do all the crazy stuff with the robots.
Yeah, yeah.
I maybe it will be aliens. We'll have to come in, like Alien Nation. And, like, they'll get in there.
Yeah.
Before the robot. Right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go. Either way, it'll be an interesting plot for a movie. And talking of movies, you've been, between Automation when we spoke last, you've been incredibly busy. Lots and lots of lots and lots and lots and lots of film. You're a wife, a mother, actor, producer, writer, director. Stop it. You're just too talented. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about before we get to the subject, which is Space Wars, is you did a bronzeploitation movie with Bronzy, with Robert Kovacs. How awesome. What is it? 12 to Midnight. Can you tell us a little bit about doing a bronzeploitation movie?
I love you so much right now so a bronzeploitation. So I get cast in this film, right? Jeff Miller's the producer. I love him. And Mark Savitt is the director. And I'm like, okay, there's this movie with Bronzy, who looks just like Charles Bronson. And I'm not sure. So I put it online, I announce it.
Right.
And I have four people reach out to me and go, oh my God, you're in one of those films. I'm I had no idea that it's a genre unto itself.
Yeah. Oh my
which
God.
Which is why the internet is an amazing thing. Like, Bronzy, the lead in 12 to Midnight, is the most fascinating character. Like, literally, he looks just like it. And I've never been on screen with someone who the camera loves more than me. I'm times a thousand.
Right.
It's really weird. And so, I guess I'm in this. I love that you said bronzeploitation, because it is. It's weird. And he's amazing and he's great. And there's something so internet ridiculous about it. I don't know. It's like Sharknado.
Yeah.
And then you have bronzeploitation. Right?
And now we've got the Pooniverse coming.
What's the Pooniverse?
It's the Winnie the Pooh, Blood the Honey.
How do I get in that?
Oh yeah.
I'm so ridiculous. I reached out to the filmmakers on Instagram and I was I want to play. How do I get in on this ridiculousness?
How do I get killed by Winnie the Pooh? Films,
I want to play. I'm putting out the word, okay? Please put me in a Winnie the Pooh movie. I'm so down.
I'm totally.
I could be an incestuous cousin or something.
Well, I mean, the new one's got Owl and plus Piglet and Pooh and Owl and Tigger, but they still haven't got Eeyore or Rabbit, so that must be for a part three. One can only hope. I hope if they decide to keep going, I'm putting my hat in the ring too right now. If they go into space, I've got a great concept, because once they get to four, they've either got to go back in time to the Old West or they've got to go into space. So Blood and Honey in space, if they're listening right now, I got it. Talk to me. Call me. Come see.
I love that idea. I'm sort of I'm a fan of anything that if you're doing an indie film and people right away from the title say yes.
Yeah.
Then you've got something. Sometimes if you don't have a ton of money, it becomes about the concept. And I sort of love them because they were yes, did you see the Three Little Pigs one?
Yes.
What's it called? Fucking good.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
It was good. The brothers with the pig snouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did a movie with the pig snouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why more people should have talked about that movie, because it was really good.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, when you don't have, millions of dollars to throw at it, the concept can really become king, and you can match big budgets with a lot of heart and quirkiness and creativity, right?
Yeah. I mean, I get a little jealous on these things because I'm like, how do I get involved? Did I miss it? Like,
exactly.
And I feel like at least, I mean, that Three Little Pigs one, I saw the movie and I was like, this is like a drama. Like someone had a really good brother script and they were like, you know what? We can't get anyone to make this. Let's put some pig snouts on everybody. And it's Three Little Pigs. And I, for one, am totally into it.
Yeah. It's incredible. The sky's the limit. I wish them all the best. And I hope that they hear your plea and get you involved with the Pooniverse as it stands. But thanks, we should devote some time to the great Gara Assetti and the film that he says that you're his John Saxon in, which is Space Wars. I was thinking about after he said that, I remember a story that Stacey Keach told about John Carpenter when he was being cast for Escape from LA. And he said, John didn't give me a script or anything. He says, I need you to be my Lee Van Cleef in this movie. And I sort of kind of got a picture in my head. I could see Garo coming to you and say, hey, Sadie, I need you to be my John Saxon in this movie.
Oh, you just made it very romantic. Like those are like the conversation actors die to have.
Right.
There actually was a script that Joe Netter wrote with, I think, is Garo credited in the writing, but.
Yeah, I think they hashed out the story and then Joe wrote the screenplay based on their
that's the cool thing is like, I feel like Joe knows me enough to know, like, you start to know how a certain actor works. And I mean, Eleonora is like so delicious to play. Like, you know, there's like parts where you go, yes, I'm going to like dive into it.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that like the reviewers and like fans actually got it, because there's always that fear that you like jump in.
Right.
Which has happened to me in other films where people are like, she's so terrible. And I go, what are you talking about? I'm this character. How do you
We're doing it? Yeah. In the spirit of what this is in the history behind what this is in the genre, that's what I'm doing.
Right. But, so like I'm so glad that people actually like got it. And I'll also credit Michael Paré, who kind of like he came to set on a day he wasn't shooting.
Right.
And his whole thing was like, what are you gonna do? Because you know, you're working off green screen and he wants to know how I'm gonna deliver it so he looks appropriate.
Right.
And so I did it a couple times and he goes, why are you holding back? Be Sadie Katz 1,000.
Right, yeah.
You know? And then Garo was like, you should have as much fun as you possibly want.
Swing for the fences.
Like the one, like the one thing he was like, what if you were like, I'll rip out your soul and like, give me permission to be a nutball. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. So I'm grateful that I got to do that. And I'm really grateful that it fit in the world, because you never know. And like Eleonora is arguably like, she's the comic relief, one of the comic reliefs, which is fun. Like in between Star Wars and Spaceballs lives Space Wars, right? Like it's a combo.
That's right. That's a great analogy. They should put that on the poster. It's somewhere between Star Wars and Spaceballs. Space Wars. In between the Pooniverse and the Sharknadoverse and the Bronzeploitation, there's space. Well, Garo's talking franchise. He's reckoned there's a lot more on the cards. So you know, you might be back.
Well, if I don't come back, I am going to. Well, Garo's a good friend of mine. So if I don't come back, I just bring it back.
Give him filthy looks on the street.
Yeah. I mean, I would forgive him because I know how those things work. But I would be like, how do you not have Eleonora? I feel like also like Kip and Eleonora were past lovers, right?
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. She's angry. She's angry at him for a reason.
What if he is my son's dad?
Right. And he just.
No.
Yeah, there's food there for thought. There's food there for a budding franchise. But it's a wonderful piece, Eddie, and I had Garo and Anna Heath on earlier and they talked about all the love and passion that went into this. It must be fun making these films. Are fun because I get the feeling from them that they were fun to make. Was it fun to be there? Because it seems like the fun translates. I feel like if it feels like it was fun to make, it usually translates to the audience. So was it a lot of fun on set?
Yeah, I mean, I have a bit of a lapse. So can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Great. I feel like they were a lot of fun to make. And like, you know, in the indie world, people really know each other.
Mm.
And so there's a certain comfort of seeing like old friends that you've worked with.
Yeah.
So I keep using this word delicious, but it really is. It's, there's something kind of spectacular about getting to play in the sandbox that someone else created. Yeah. So yeah, it's so fun.
That's fantastic. Well, Space Wars is for our listeners right now. It's out on digital platforms. It's also available on physical media. Sadie, please tell me that you're a supporter of physical media. Do you still buy DVDs?
You know what? We do have DVDs. I mean, am I a collector? No, I'm not really a collector in my world. But do I get really excited to put my actual DVD on the shelf?
Sure.
I mean, I think that Blockbuster should come back. I think we need to rethink the process of our Friday nights and renting. Like that used to be a really fun part of you know.
Yeah, it used to be. It used to be like a weekend thing, like Friday night. Hey, and you find yourself instead of flicking across a screen for something you watch, you'd stand there forever looking at the shelves trying to decide which one to leave with.
I know. And I always wanted to be on the shelf. Like I would dream of having my, you know, my DVD out there and how amazing that would be. I mean, there's a couple of places in LA that have popped up, like Vidiots. Have you heard of Vidiots?
Yes, I have heard of it. Yes. Yes. Trying to keep
hungry. They want that.
Yes.
So I think we need to figure out how to make that work.
Yes. I think there's enough of a culture there that it could very easily come back. Heck, if vinyl's making a resurgence, anything is possible.
I collect albums, so I think it has to start with the DVD player.
Yes.
So people have to have DVD players, and then they have to collect videos and Blu-rays the way they do albums.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can kind of see it going that way. But yeah, it's definitely a shame because I used to live across the road from a video store, and it was always a great thing to go in there and stand there for hours and look at all the films that you know. You could spend, you know, go shelf for shelf for years and still only see the tip of the iceberg, because there are quite a lot of films out there. As many films as you see, there's more and more coming out. And
the posters. So Space Wars has these amazing posters. Do you remember
the character posters too?
Store? And they would have posters, and like you could get the posters for like $2 when they were
exactly doing it. And if it was popular, you had to get in there and like, because you know you'd know certain people who were after them, so you had to get in and get your name down first. So hey, keep me one of those or that sort of thing. Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And speaking of posters, the posters for Space Wars, you got your own like a character poster, which is really cool.
It's pretty cool. I have it ready to blow up. Actually, I have it blown up. I haven't framed it. But, you know, there's something like when you're an actor, that's like icing on the cake. When
oh, sure. Because you're happy to be part of the collective poster, which is also pretty cool. But to have your own, which is really awesome. I mean, that's like being in one of those big time, you know, cinema franchises where they all get their own character stuff. So that's got to be really, really awesome.
It is. I'm like, I think of like my two sons and I'm seeing it like,
yeah. You know,
I really hope that Space Wars gets fair due. Almost when a sequel comes out, then people will see the sequel.
Right.
And then they'll see the first one and they'll be like, oh my God, this is really fun. It's really like a love letter to sci-fi fans, honestly.
Oh, totally. Totally. It's a Valentine. It's a Valentine to everything that was wonderful about a certain time in sci-fi cinema, and that was in the 80s and 90s, even going back as far as the 70s. But, Thady, it's been fantastic to have you on Cinema Yugen. I hope that Space Wars continues to fly the friendly skies and we might get to see more of Eleonora and her story, her secrets. As it continues, I hope you get to do another Bronzeploitation movie. Here's hoping those Pooniverse guys reach out to you and you get to take on a flaming chainsword Winnie the Pooh who's riding a demonic Bambi, bringing a chaotic Pinocchio. I mean,
I'm sending this interview when you put this out, I'm sending it to them and I'm going to be like, where's the case for like a grown-up Alice in Wonderland who's pissed off at Winnie the Pooh? I don't know.
Yeah. Or it's Alice who has been trapped in Wonderland and she's gone, or she's, you know, she's become like some sort of evil dictator and she's she's tyrannically ruling Wonderland with the Cheshire Cat as her henchman or something like that.
Oh, you're so good. I love that. All right.
Oh, Alice kills Wonderland. Yeah, I love it. I'd love to see like a horror version of that caterpillar that smokes weed.
Right? I actually have an Alice
Wonderland. Oh, you do? Well,
look at this.
It's written in the stars. It's written on her skin. I think these people need to listen.
Mr. Cunty. Can I say
Cunty in
the show?
Sadie, I think these guys need to listen to us. I think we've got their future. Their future's in good hands with us, with me and Stacey.
We got you guys.
Yeah, with me.
What is it called? Bronze exploitation?
Exploitation. Bronze exploitation. I very nearly, I came really close to writing a bronze. Really close.
You got to reach out to Jeff Miller.
Oh, okay, he's, Jeff. He's, yeah,
I Jeff would, Miller.
I would.
He's all I would, about it.
I would sell my immortal soul to write a bronzy, especially. Yeah.
What a world we live in! I love.
I know. It's wonderful. It's so chaotic. It's beautiful. It's like a child that spins around and around and around, knowing that they're going to get so dizzy they're going to fall over, but they keep on spinning as fast. He's
screaming, look at my panties, look at my panties. Yeah.
I'm going to throw up, but I can't stop. Let's go around it till we spew. Sadie, it's been fantastic to talk movies with you. I wish you every hopeful, joyful success in everything that you've got on the boil. I hope you get involved with all of the stuff that we talked about, the Pooniverse and a bit more Bronzeploitation. And as we have been talking about Space Wars, Gary Ossetian's science fiction franchise, Eleonora, let's hope she returns and we find out a little bit more. But Sadie, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much. All right, stay in touch with me. Gosh darn it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The sensational Sadie Katz, ladies and gentlemen. She's always a delight to talk to. She's up to a lot of cool things. Let's hope that the rise and rise continues for Sadie, and all cool things come to she who waits, and she has waited, and they're all coming soon to a theater near you. Let's hope that Sandy's character continues in the realm of Space Wars, and that she does live out that dream and get to enter the Pooniverse somewhere, as much as we all hope to. Power to the Pooniverse, and power to Sadie Katz, and power to you, my little Eugenites, and thank you for listening to us again on Spotify or wherever you listen to us here on Cinema Eugen. Catch you next time.